The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on October 21st, 1987 at New Talavan Farm in Carriere, Mississippi. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 22.
हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीना बंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कंसा राधा कंसा नमोस्तुते तप्ता कंचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुता देवी प्रणाम हरि प्रिय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गुरुधरो श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमः भगवते
वासुदेवाय
ओम नमः भगवते
भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्य नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीयजेत् जाकरोति वाचालं पङ्गुलं गायति गिरिं यत्कृपां वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनचारिणं परमानन्दमाधव श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरं विच् वर्स्
25
नयस्य
बध्यो
वाचा
रक्षणीयो
रक्षणीया
आदरणीय
पक्षाती
सग स्थिति संयम
आता
अथे रज
तमांसी
काले यस्य वध्यो न च रक्षणीयो नोपेक्षणीया धरणीय
पक्षा
तथापि सर्गा स्थिति संयमार्थं रथे रज सत्तमांसि काले
ना
not
yes ya
by whom
the Lord
Vadhya
anyone
is to be killed
na
nor
cha
also
Rakshaniya
anyone is to be protected
na
Nor.
Nor.
Upekshaniya.
Upekshaniya.
To be neglected.
Adharaniya.
Adharaniya. To be worshipped.
To be worshipped.
Pakshaha.
Pakshaha.
Heart.
Heart.
Tathapi.
Tathapi.
Still.
Still.
Sarga.
Sarga.
Creation.
Creation.
Stiti.
Stiti.
Maintenance.
Maintenance.
Sanyama.
Sanyama.
And annihilation.
And annihilation.
Artam.
Artam.
For the sake of.
For the sake of.
Dati.
Dati.
He accepts.
He accepts.
Rajasattva.
Rajasattva.
Tamansi.
Tamansi.
Passion, goodness, and ignorance.
Passion, goodness, and ignorance.
Kali.
Kali.
In due course of time.
In due course of time.
For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no one to be killed, no one to be protected, no one to be neglected, and no one to be worshipped. Nonetheless, for the sake of creation, annihilation, and maintain, and creation, maintenance, and annihilation according to time, he accepts different forms as incarnations, either in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. Either in the mode of goodness, mode of passion, or the mode of ignorance. Report. This verse explains that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equal to anyone. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 9:29. Samoham sarva bhuteshu namedvesho hi namedvesho stina priya ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maite te shuchapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion as a friend is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Although the Lord is impartial, he gives special attention to his devotees. Therefore the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:18, Rita naya satunam vinasaya cha duskritam dhamasam samstapanathaya sambhavami dure dure. Translation, deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Lord has nothing to do with anyone's protection or destruction, but for the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of his material world. He apparently has to act in either goodness, passion, or ignorance. Actually, however, he is unaffected by these three modes of material nature. He is the Supreme Lord of everyone. As a king, sometimes punishes or rewards someone to maintain law and order. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, although having nothing to do with the activities of this material world, sometimes appears as various incarnations according to the time, place, and object. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport of Text 22, Chapter 5, Canto 8, in the matter of the demigods, appeal to the Lord. We discuss how the Lord is impartial, how he answers the prayers of both the householder and the thief. Here this is elaborated on, because no one is actually an enemy to the Lord. No one is an object of worship for the Lord. Yet we find that in the Vedas, sometimes Krishna protected Arjuna, and sometimes even Krishna worshipped, or Ram worshipped Shiva. So how these appear to be apparent contradictions, how to understand this? The point is that everyone has certain duties. Just like a parent has a duty to protect the children, or a husband to protect the wife, or the wife to serve the husband, or the children to listen to the parents. Everyone has got certain responsibilities. They don't do that, actually. They get deprived of the auspicious nature of their life they were expecting. However, Krishna, since he is everything and he has everything, he has nothing to attain. So it's not like he needs something. He's not in any kind of need. He's Atma Rama, totally self-satisfied. Still, Krishna acts sometimes as if he was obliged. Sometimes he just acts totally independent. This is their nature. He doesn't actually owe anything. The Krishna is very personal. He'll reciprocate with someone according to how they reciprocate with him. Someone serves him over a long period of time, very sincerely, then Krishna can recognize this as a devotee very easily. So in other words, why does the Lord give special attention to his devotees if he's impartial to everyone? Because the devotees are always anxious for his special attention. They're praying for that constantly. So he offers to everyone, they can all get the same facility. But since the devotees are the only one to take it, they're very fortunate. So that's why this is all called a pastime for the Lord. He's totally independent in what he's doing. It's not because of any kind of obligation. He's simply doing it out of his own sweet will, just to demonstrate some of his transcendental qualities to the world. It's like Lord Chaitanya. He is totally independent. He had a beautiful wife, a loving mother. When he snapped his finger, 200,000 people will come running. The whole Navadvip is under his control. He has everything that someone could want. But he desired to go out and preach all over India. He wanted that people would not try to control him. So he decided to take sannyas. Now, he knew his mother wouldn't give permission. He knew his wife would never allow. So in the middle of the night, one day, he only told 5 people he was going to do this. Middle of the night, he left. This drama of Lord Chaitanya leaving his home has been covered by many dramatic writers, playwriters. Any productions show that the extreme separation of Lord Chaitanya's intimate devotees, his mother and wife, felt when he left. We went to a play with Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta, which had been playing for like 13 years, called Sri Chaitanya. They invited Prabhupada to come, gave free tickets, so he accompanied. They're very good troupe. Only problem was because they've been playing it for 13 years, Lord Nityananda started to look a little old. The same players. But dramatically, they're very, very effective. It was a dance drama. And the side of the stage, they had the singers and the speakers. The actors would not actually speak. They'd move their mouth as if they were speaking, but someone on the side would speak into the microphone. It's kind of a unique technique. So you would think that they were speaking, but actually they weren't speaking. You look on the side and someone else is speaking. You can hardly see them. You have to strain, you can see on the side that they're there. But it didn't interrupt the flow, actually. Nityananda was very beautiful. He had nupurs and was dancing. I remember that when Lord Chaitanya left and Mother Sachi realized that he was gone, then she ran out, was crying, "Where's Nimai? Where's Nimai?" Actually, this time in the flood, the one village which always gets the worst flood is called Nirdoya, which is short for Nirdoya. Doya means mercy, Doya moi, Doya koro prabhu. And Nir means no, like Nirahankara, Niradoya. No mercy, no mercy. When Mother Sachi went out into the night calling, "Nimai, Nimai," then she was like mad in separation. And she went, she got to that village and she called out to the village. It was like 2 in the morning or something, 1 in the morning. "Where's my Nimai? Tell me, where's Nimai?" And Master of the village didn't answer. It was silent. Everyone was asleep. So then she like cursed him and said, "You're near Doya. You have no mercy, no mercy. You don't tell me where my Nimai is." That's as far as she got. Then she collapsed crying. I don't know whether, since giving that name, that already the name has been known as Nidoya. Whenever there's a flood, it gets it the worst. I think Mother Sachi never forgave them. In the play, of course, Lord Chaitanya went to Katwa, took sannyas. Then he was going off to Vrindavan, but Nityananda was very merciful to Mother Sachi, the devotees of Vrindavan. He told some cowherd boys that were there that if Lord Chaitanya asks you, "Where is Vrindavan?" you show the wrong way. You say it this way. So that's the way. Point to the south. So Lord Chaitanya came in his ecstasy, going to Vrindavan, going to his complete ecstasy. So he wasn't very conscious about external details. In complete ecstasy of love for Krishna. So he asked which way to Vrindavan they offered. So then he started down the wrong way. When Nityananda saw right, he's headed in the right direction. He jumps in the river. And it's about, well, by the road to Navadip is 45 kilometers, and to from Navadip to Shantipur is another 40 kilometers. From so that's 85. So that's about 50 miles and the way the road, by road. But the Ganges is very curvy, so it may even be double that. So maybe 75 to 100 miles. Nityananda Prabhu floated. He just floated in the Ganges. That's how he went down to Shantipur. See, I was thinking one time today, since when they had the annual, the year of sports, they have all every year of youth, year of sport. I thought that to have a marathon swim meet following Nityananda's route, I don't know if anyone can do it. So Lord Nityananda, he arrived at Shantipur, and he told Advaita to get ready. Lord Chaitanya is headed this way. He's already taken sannyas. Send someone quickly to Navadvip and get Mother Sachi and other devotees. So Mother Sachi was brought, and so Srivas Thakur and all the devotees to Navadvip, they came down. And Lord Chaitanya, in the meantime, he's headed off to Vrindavan, but he's headed in the wrong way. So as he's going down the river, they see Lord Chaitanya. So then Nityananda and Advaita, they head off in a rowboat across the Ganges. Lord Chaitanya is chanting, Hare Krishna is dancing, heading down the side of the river. Then he sees, who's this? How did Advaita and Nityananda end up in Vrindavan? Then he came to his external senses and said, oh, wait a minute, I was tricked. Then Nityananda said, please get on board. Before you go off, all the devotees, they have your mercy on them. Otherwise, how they all die. So I remember that play when the messenger went to tell Mother Sachi that Lord Chaitanya has taken sannyas. And he's in Shantipur, you should go to see him. Like Mother Sachi was just still like in the play, she was like there in a stage that down in complete separation, like in a stunned state. All of a sudden the messenger came, said, Lord Chaitanya has taken sannyas, he's waiting for you in Shantipur. Then it was like in the some kind of madness of her love, she said, Ami Chabona, I will not go. Ami Chabona. Ami Chabona. I will not go. I will not go. Then she like came to her senses or something. Ami Chabona. I'll go. Ami Chabona. Ami Chabona. It was very Remember those lines, it was very poetic today. Then she went, everyone. So Prabhupada liked that drama troupe very much. He said that he invited them, please come, we'll take you all over the world to perform this Chaitanya Leela. We'd like people to know about Chaitanya Leela. And since they had the voices on the side, he could even introduce some explanation. They said only one condition. During the trip, you have to be pure, total vegetarian. Well, you all know whether they all visit the rest of it. They couldn't give up, right? Even touring all over the world, which was their big desire, they couldn't give up for that time. They couldn't promise to be vegetarians for that time. So they lost the chance. Well, the real pastime, Mother Sachi went to Shantipur, and there Lord Chaitanya, of course when she saw Lord Chaitanya without his hair and robes, it was a big shock for her. Mothers want to see their children always materially very comfortable, to think of a child having going through some great austerity, being a monk, was a big shock for Mother Sachi. You know, so many times in the Krishna conscious movement, the parents write, all right, I'll send you a donation, I'll send you some money, but as long as you don't use it to the temple, only for your body. You have to spend it on yourself. Right, so many times they say like that. So it's a long-standing tradition. The Mother Sachi, she was, of course, upset. So Lord Chaitanya, he expressed some really amazing sentiments for his mother. Said that he went, touched her feet, paid obeisances. Said, actually, you've given me this body. This body belongs to you. So I'm so indebted you gave me this body. At the same time, now I've taken these vows, dedicated myself to serving Krishna. I cannot turn back. But whatever you order, I'll do, since this body belongs to you. So then there was a big dilemma for Mother Sachi, what to do. So she knew that since he took the vows, if he broke his vows, it would be a destruction for his spiritual life. So she couldn't, it was too late, she couldn't say to do that. At the same time, she could hardly live without Lord Chaitanya. She didn't know what to do. So then she requested Lord Chaitanya, instead of staying in Vrindavan, which is too far, please stay in Jagannath Puri, which is, always devotees are coming, going from Jagannath Puri, will get some information. And this way, hearing some news from you, we can survive. So then Lord Chaitanya, on the request of Mother Sachi, he remained in Jagannath. He just agreed to go to Jagannath Puri instead. Actually, Lord Chaitanya doesn't owe anything to anyone. Krishna doesn't owe anything. Krishna is simultaneously the most renounced. At the same time, out of his causeless mercy, he can do anything. So, pastimes display different qualities of the Lord. If he wants to leave, he'll leave. At the same time, that shows his supreme renunciation, that he's totally detached. At the same time, if he wants to give mercy to his devotees, he can also do that. Actually, it's not that he has any obligation. He does it out of his sweet will. If he doesn't want to do something, well, he doesn't do it. One time, Lord Chaitanya was leaving Jagannath Puri to go to Vrindavan. And Gadadhar Pandit, Gadadhar Prabhu, who was, of course, one of the Panchatattva, took a vow of not leaving Jagannath Puri, which is an area about 68 miles in circumference, called Sri Kshetra, the land of Lakshmi. It was called Sri Kshetra because that area was simply built up by Lakshmi conscience. So the whole land is actually like filled with pulverized conscience. It's considered a sacred abode. People that reside there are seen by the demigods to have four hands. So Kadada Prabhu was a Kshetra Sannyasi. He wouldn't leave the Dham. The Lord Chaitanya, when he was accompanied up to the border of the Dham, and he was feeling such separation that he asked Lord Chaitanya, just take me with you. But you see, you'll break your vow. So whatever, I cannot bear to be without your association. So then like he stepped, you know, like 1 foot over the border. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, don't break your vow. Lord Chaitanya backed up. He stayed just for some time. But then again, Lord Chaitanya said, no, I'm going. But this time, Lord Chaitanya wouldn't let him come. So Gadadhar felt such separation seeing Lord Chaitanya leave. I think there was a river, there was a bar. He was running a boat that he just fainted on the side of the river, on the side of the boundary. But Lord Chaitanya didn't even look back. He just went on. So if he wants to, he can be detached. If he wants to, he can act as if he's attached. That's his independence. So although he doesn't owe anything to anyone, but because of the love of a devotee, sometimes he allows himself to be controlled by that love. Otherwise, no one can control Krishna. No one can control the Supreme Lord. But only as we read in every morning in Damodar Astakam, he can only be controlled by pure love, which is free from awe and reverence, which is completely spontaneous. Even that control, it's not, that's his own, that's not normal attachment. That's his own sweet will. The devotee loves him, so he reciprocates. When Krishna was leaving Hastinapur and going back to Dwaraka, Kunti Devi offered him many prayers. Those prayers, the prayers of Queen Kunti, have been put in a nice book, the Prabhupada's purport. I remember Prabhupada was giving a lecture on that. And he mentioned how that so many nice prayers, Krishna stopped, listened to all the prayers, accepted them, smiled, and he went on. Even though she begged him, please don't go, he went on. Then as he went a little bit, then there was Yudhisthira. And Yudhisthira, he saw Krishna, and he just like embraced Krishna. He was like holding Krishna. Then he just thought that Krishna is leaving. Yudhisthira, he just choked up, he couldn't speak. Tears were coming from his eyes. He was shaking in his body, complete ecstasy, love for Krishna, feeling intense separation, the thought that Krishna is leaving. Then he just requested, please stay for a few more days. But because of his such an intense love, then Krishna is sorry. He didn't go for 2 days. So although Krishna is Ojita, he's unconquerable, but he's conquered only by the pure love of his devotee. This is the reason we say that Krishna gives his causeless mercy. He's not required to give any mercy. It's not that we're doing or anyone can do something which is actually a fair exchange for the mercy of Krishna. For instance, if you work so many hours a day, according to American law, you should get a minimum wage. You can claim I have minimum wage. If they pay you less than that, maybe you have some recourse to claims, minimum wage for some, if you're working in some material employment. So there's a certain value to someone's work. But if one does devotional service, he's doing some work, maybe in the material exchange that would have some value. But in exchange for that, Krishna is not only eradicating unlimited sinful reactions, not only is giving unlimited shelter, liberation, all these like side benefits, which are in themselves even immensely valuable, incalculably valuable. But he's giving that pure love in exchange for just some service. Maybe not even very efficient service. Maybe not even very You see, valuable service in some way, even if it's very valuable, but whatever value it has, if you compare it to what Krishna is giving, there's no comparison. It's like someone doing a job and someone pays you by giving you $1 million diamond. It's just a gift. You can't say that I earned it. What's $1 million diamond compared to what Krishna is giving? So therefore, Krishna's mercy is causeless mercy. He's giving it out of his own kindness, out of his own mercy. So the devotee, they go through the motions. They make the effort to demonstrate to Krishna their sincerity. It's not so much that the exact quantity of service that we perform, as much as the desire and the effort we're putting into it. Someone may be doing X amount of service, but may not be actually trying as hard as they could. They may have a greater capacity. Just like Hanuman was able to lift up mountain tops and throw them into the ocean. But Lord Ram considered the little squirrel throwing, or was it squirrel or spider, throwing the specks of dust. He's working up to his capacity. So the devotee never thinks that, oh, because my score is bigger than the other person's score, therefore now I've got it made. They always just think that whatever I'm doing, I should try to increase it. I should try to please Krishna more. Because the actual thing which pleases the Krishna is our desire and our sincere effort to serve Him. Even if a devotee is in rocky waters, rough waters or whatever, sometimes having difficulty with the mind, that doesn't mean that that person is disqualified from Lord Chaitanya's mercy. The test is whether that person remains determined and keeps on trying. How many times a little child falls down in the attempt to learn how to walk? I think if you kept track, you would have to fill up volumes of books. So many times in the first 2 years of their life when they try to walk, they poof, they fall on their behind suddenly. Then they get back up and keep on trying. Then again, kaboom. So of course, nature pads them a little bit. Doesn't seem to hurt them so much, although occasionally they cry. But they go on trying. So after millions of births in the material universe, who knows what level each person is on? Maybe some people are relatively children in the spiritual life, so maybe more advanced. Ultimately, Krishna is the judge, but he sees. He's known as Bhava Grihi Janardana. He sees the mood of the devotee. If the devotee sincerely tries, keeps on slugging, even there's difficulties. Of course, Krishna is more pleased when the devotee is able to cross over the difficulties. But sometimes we have to learn, due to our own offenses or due to our own previous bad activity, whatever, we have to learn sometimes to surrender through practical tests. If we cross over the test, then no problem. And after that, it's a smoother sailing. Maybe some have already crossed over the test, or by some special mercy, they're elevated over that stage. But Krishna is seeing our sincerity. How would you react if Maya knocks us down? Do we become bitter at Krishna? Do we become bitter at the Guru? Do we become self-pitiful? Or do we actually become shameful? I mean, shame, filled with shame and remorse and repentance. So for devotional service, if we make a mistake, the only prize chitya, the only purification or atonement, is to feel sincere repentance and then to engage completely and sincerely in devotional service. It's practical. How hard we actually struggle when Maya attacks, how carefully we take the precautions. Sometimes there are certain guidelines, certain things we can do to help. We take those remedial measures and we go on. The point is that we try to refine our mood of devotion, try to increase our enthusiasm and determination, being patient, even though maybe we don't always get the immediate results we hope for. Ultimately, it's up to Krishna. It's His causeless mercy. We pray for a little special mercy, because Nityananda, if He just gives us a drop of His mercy, we can just cross over all the hurdles. It's not that He owes it to us. He gives it. It's His kindness. It's His mercy.